Patricia Schultz gets us ready to celebrate Canada's sesquicentennial. It's 150 years old. And plan a road trip across the United States. And Christopher Elliott helps us overcome common pitfalls he encounters as a consumer travel advocate so that we can all be smarter travelers. That's coming up in just a bit on today's Travel with Rick Steves. If you've resolved to improve what you eat, you've probably heard a lot about the benefits of a Mediterranean-style diet. Travelers to Greece rave about how good the food is and how healthy it is. Here to help unlock the magic of authentic Greek food are Greek tour guides Anastasia Gaetanou, Ioana Papakosta, and David Willett, who also contributes to the latest Rick Steves Greece guidebook. Ioana, what should a traveler know ahead of time about what they're going to eat in Greece?
Well, first of all, he has to have in mind that food in Greece is simple. You start with this beautiful environment and this very rich soil that blesses us with amazing and tasty ingredients. And you will find out that most of our dishes are simple, but so delicious. Most of them are an experience.
So, Anastasia, when you think of your favorite Greek dishes, what ingredient do you have a particular appreciation for?
Oh, that is so difficult. Everything's my favorite, but I cannot cook without olive oil.
Olive oil.
Olive oil, absolutely. I have a family of three, and I need about 5 liters of olive oil per month.
5 liters a month, so that's more than a gallon of olive oil a month you use. Now, would this be extra virgin Italian olive oil?
This will be definitely virgin oil, if I can extra, but Greek.
Greek.
We have a lot of olive oil. We have about 400,000 to 500,000 tons per year, depending on the weather mainly. And about 70% of that is virgin olive oil.
What does virgin olive oil, what does that mean?
Virgin olive oil is the oil that we get from the first pressing, and it has very low acidity levels. Mainly the quality of the olive oil is determined by its taste and by its acidity level, mainly.
So when somebody sits down in a taverna and has a good Greek salad, what is the dressing for the salad?
Well, if it would be really Greek salad, it would be olive oil and salt.
That would be it. Not ranch, not blue cheese,
no,
none of that.
No, absolutely nothing. And a Greek salad would be tomatoes, hopefully Greek tomatoes. If you try a Greek tomato, you will remember or for the first time realize what a tomato really tastes like. So tomatoes, cucumber, and then it depends. Many use onions, some use peppers, olives definitely, and to characterize something as a Greek salad or choriatiki, that's the village salad, then you have to have a big chunk of feta cheese on top.
Oh, yeah, a big chunk of feta cheese. David Willett, you wrote the Lonely Planet Guide to Greece. What sort of a tip would you give to a traveler to get the best value when you're going to spend money in a restaurant?
I assess things by eye. Where the locals are eating, I go and eat. And often it's very clearly defined. You'll have a restaurant that's completely full on one side and one that's empty on the other. So which one has the good food? Let the people tell you.
The locals know.
The locals know. So I always trust the locals when seeking advice. Not necessarily your hotel concierge. They often do deals with hotels.
Right.
I trust my own judgment and I go out and look.
Now, one thing I'm aware of when I'm trying to watch my dollar as I'm traveling is not to overorder. And in Greece, it's a great situation if you're traveling with a family or a small group because you can eat family style and have many different options without overordering. Talk a little bit about the meze style of eating.
Well, I think that really when you sit down and order in Greece, you need to think about ordering for the table, not for yourself. So you order a variety and you order it to share. It goes in the middle of the table and you take the food from those plates and put it on your own, or you simply eat from those communal plates.
All right. Ioana, as a traveler, is there something strange and frightening that I should be aware of ordering just for the experience? What do you find is an unusual food that people enjoy when they're traveling around Greece?
Snails.
You have snails in Greece, huh?
Yes, yes. But, you know, you don't come across them very often. Mostly the locals cook them at home.
Octopus, maybe. That's for some travelers.
If they haven't had octopus before, but still, you have to be open-minded because these are not tastes that are going to shock you. And I find that most of the times people have a problem when they eat fish, fresh fish that the fishermen just brought out early in the morning, and you have it grilled and it's delicious. But sometimes people, when they see the whole fish, they
With the head on it.
They're framed,
I suppose the head on it is a good thing. You know it's a fresh
fish. You know it's fresh, looking at its eye, of course.
Is that right? So that's part of the reason to have
the head
on it.
Before it's cooked, yeah.
All right. Now, there's different kinds of eateries. The taverna, the mezze place, the place for ouzo. Can you talk about these and what you would look for when you're choosing a restaurant? What are the traditional kinds of restaurants?
It depends, first of all, on how you want to spend your time. If you want to have a nice, long meal, you go to a taverna. Usually families go there. But if you have some time to spend with your friends, you would go to a place to eat some mezzes and drink some ouzo or chipuro, where you have the drinks come with little side dishes, a variety of delicacies on
and
them.
And that would be a mezza?
Mezze dopo lio.
A restaurant that specializes in, like, tapas that can be shared.
Yeah,
All right. David Willett, Johanna just mentioned ouzo and chipuro.
Ouzo is an alcohol, preferably a fairly neutral alcohol, made from either sugar cane or figs, something that produces a neutral flavored alcohol, and that is then flavored with anise and other herbs and spices.
Ouzo.
Yes,
and this is
ouzo.
And you add water and it becomes cloudy.
You add water and it becomes cloudy. Chipuro is a grape product.
Oh, it's a grape, so more like a grappa.
It is exactly the same as grappa. Grappa, chikudia, they're all the same product. Eau de vie in France, they're all produced from the grape trash.
Okay. It's Travel with Rick Steves, and our guides to eating like the Greeks are Anastasia Gaitanou from Thessaloniki, Ioana Papakosta from Patras, and Australian David Willett, a former resident of Nafplio, and he's been showing visitors the high points of Greece for decades. Anastasia, when we go to Greece, olives seem to have there's a passion for olives, and I've been with people who, it's a family recipe of how they prepare their olives. Of course, you can't eat an olive off the tree. How do you have to prepare it, and what sort of national pride or regional pride or even family pride is there with olives?
Olives define us, really. You find them almost everywhere in Greece. They do grow almost everywhere. And they're a very good culture because the olive tree, so it needs very little water but a lot of sun, and it can grow even on rocky soil. So we have it everywhere except on the high mountains. And most families that have the luxury of owning a small piece of land have some olive trees, and many produce their own olive oil, and they have their own olives. So what we do is we collect them, and then you have to wash them, of course, because they have been on the tree for a long time. You never know. And then you either put them in salt, if you like them salty, and they let them practically cook
salty
in the
liquid
salt.
Or
no, just salt.
Just salt.
Just a big barrel with salt, and you put them in. Mm-hmm. These are the salty ones. But usually what we do is we put them in brine. And we leave them there. We change the salt water many times. And then the last salt water, you define the taste of the olive, because you should never eat an olive from the tree. It tastes horrible, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So you define the taste by what you put into the salt water, which can be lots of different herbs, lemon, an apple for the acidity, onions, whatever you like.
Thank you. Now, I just want to finish by letting each of you talk just a bit about some of the classic dishes. You want a tzatziki.
Oh, my God. This is what we use instead of Windex. My big fan. In everything. So tzatziki is basically the most popular dip we have in Greece.
So this is a dip
for your
bread, for your vegetables.
A spread on your bread, exactly. It's a side.
What's it made out of?
Yogurt, cucumber, garlic, a touch of vinegar, olive oil, salt, and pepper.
You can get it at any restaurant.
It's everywhere. Sometimes people add carrots or dill, but the traditional thing is the basic.
David Willett, moussaka.
Moussaka. You've asked the wrong person, Rip, because I've got an allergy to red meat.
Oh, no.
No, but
let's go to Anastasia then. Moussaka.
May I also say that traditional is something very relevant. It's traditional mainly to those who come to Greece. And this traditional dish is not very old. It basically consists out of meat and eggplants. But nowadays, we have layers of potatoes, eggplants, minced meat, and then the newest addition of the 60s and 70s, bechamel sauce on top.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a relatively new dish, not with deep tradition. Yeah.
Most of what is considered to be very traditional abroad, not in Greece, is what became very popular through mainly movies and through the time in which Greece was very popular in the 60s abroad.
So that's interesting. This sort of pop culture, immigration patterns and so on can shape our perception of a traditional cuisine. David Willett, the souvlaki pita.
Now we're on my territory because it combines elements that we've already mentioned. Most people in Greece, by the way, they're often surprised when they don't find that they get pita bread with everything, because pita bread is really served in the souvlaki shops.
Because souvlaki is basically a skewer of meat, but my image of a souvlaki is a souvlaki pita, actually, wrapped in the greasy bun, right?
Yes, with tzatziki, with salad, with French fries often too, because whatever fits in there gets put in there. And it's a meal for about 2 euros.
Sort of a hamburger. It's like the hamburger or the hot meal to go if you're on the run.
And I think the defining thing is the quality of the tzatziki in the end, because that really is what holds it all together.
That's my go-to meal when I'm just wanting a quick lunch, is a good souvlaki pita.
Well, you know, you only get tzatziki in the south with your souvlaki, not in the north.
Yes.
Is that right? So you won't find the
north
pita.
North is different.
That's important to remember.
If I may add one more thing. When people are asking for pita, usually they ask for lamb. It's not very common in Greece to have lamb in a pita. It's mostly pork or chicken.
Because many also confuse it with the Turkish equivalent.
Oh yeah, the doner kebab.
Of course, it's many similarities in our culture. So usually it's lamb, because in a Muslim country you don't eat pork. But ours is mainly pork.
Okay, now for dessert, I'll let each of you just share your favorite dessert. Anastasia.
Well, before I tell you that, you have to know that Greek desserts are sweet.
Yes.
Really sweet. That's why the pieces are smaller than the pieces you're used to. My favorite is galaktobureko. That is a kind of pie with phyllo dough on top and underneath, and it has a thick cream filling, and of course the whole thing is soaked in syrup, and it's to die for.
And the name again?
Galaktobureko. Try combining it with vanilla ice cream.
Ooh. David Willett, how would you cap your meal, sweet or otherwise?
I was about to say that I don't have a particularly sweet tooth until Anastasia mentioned galaktobureko, when everything falls apart. Normally in Greece, what I look forward to is the amazing fruit, how I like to end a meal. Watermelon is my favorite. A piece of cold, crisp watermelon is the perfect way to finish a meal.
Joanna.
Well, what's better than yogurt, honey, and walnuts in Greece?
Greek yogurt with Greek honey and walnuts. On that note, I'll thank all of you for sharing with us the delights of the country you know so well.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Come and taste them.
Next, we look at the scams and issues confronting travelers with consumer travel advocate Christopher Elliott. Later in the hour, Patricia Schultz updates us on her 1,000 favorite places to visit in the U.S. and Canada. We're at 877-333-RICK.